Bibles to Daniel chapter 7, please. Daniel chapter 7. Seventh chapter of Daniel and the first verse. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens stole upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Behold, another beast, a second, like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and its three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night vision, and behold a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth that devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure gold. His throne was like the fiery blaze, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great word which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. There was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are 4, are 4 kings, 4 kingdoms, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the 4th beast. I want you to notice this. Daniel's very much interested in the 4th beast. Then I would know the truth of the 4th beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth, and that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellow. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole world, or the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. He shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. He shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. They shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times, that the judgment shall sit. They shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. When I first began studying the book of Daniel, I somehow dreaded chapter 7. But the more I study it, the more I see its importance. In fact, it's the most enlightening of all the chapters of the coming world dictator and the time of his appearing. And I really enjoy what we have in chapter 7. Now, in order to really understand chapter 7, you need to read chapter 2. Well, both of them go together. In other words, we have Daniel now having a dream. We've been noticing Nebuchadnezzar having a couple of dreams and Daniel interpreting them. Also, we think of Belshazzar. Last Sunday night, we were speaking about the dream he had, and Daniel interpreted that dream. But now, Daniel is having a dream. And one of the mighty angels interprets the meaning of that dream to Daniel. And so in reading these chapters, it'll do well for you to read both chapter 2 and chapter 7, and you'll get more or less a roundabout story and picture of the times of the Gentiles. Now, you might have these four things, and if you want to jot them down, they may help you to understand this chapter. You have the four world powers. You have the final state of the fourth power or empire. You have the fiendish nature of that last world dictator. You have also the frightful finish of man's day, but the future king and kingdom of God. In other words, that's the summary of this amazing chapter. Four metals, you'll notice in chapter 2, but four beasts in chapter 7. I wonder why we see these differences. Well, in chapter 2, we have man's view of the Gentile nations that are going to rule the earth from Nebuchadnezzar when world rule passed from the Jews into the hands of the Gentiles until that time after Jesus comes when world rule will pass from the Gentiles back into the hands of the Jews. Now, that period of time, already 2,500 years long, is spoken of by the Lord Jesus as the times of the Gentiles, or the times when the Gentile nations will rule upon earth. And during that period, there will be four Gentile world powers, just four and no more. He said Jerusalem would be trodden down of the Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. As I've mentioned before, a wire fence is keeping that prophecy from being fulfilled. Old Jerusalem is today in the hands of the Arabs. And the Arabs are spoken of as Gentiles and are, as far as the Jews are concerned. And the Lord Jesus said that Jerusalem would be trodden down by Gentile nations or Gentile people until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The United Nations little realized when they were dividing the city of Jerusalem and giving the old part to the Arabs and the new Jerusalem to the Jews, that they were carrying out a Bible prophecy. For had old Jerusalem been given to the Jews, then it no longer would be trodden down of the Gentiles, and this scripture would be fulfilled, and Christ would not have come yet. But, says Jesus Christ, until I come, old Jerusalem will be trodden down of the Gentiles. That's the way it is today. A wire fence divides the city of Jerusalem from the old and the new section. How amazing, then, is God's word. Now, here is man, he looks upon all that he has done, these four Gentile world powers, and he looks at them in the light of metals, as we pointed out, the gold, the silver, the brass, and the iron and clay. He sees a lot of value, a lot of worth in what he's done. But when God gives a view of the same period of time and the same nation, and he gives this dream to Daniel, he doesn't use metals, he used beasts. That's very significant. He goes over the same territory, but he likens these very same powers in the head of these great dominions unto rapacious beasts. Why? Because beasts know not God. That's the point. Beasts lack understanding of God. And that's exactly true of the Gentile nations that have ruled. They do not know the true God. They have ruled for themselves, their own selfish ends, and the majority of them have been anti-God. Thus we see the state the world is in today. And so you have God giving us the true nature of world rulers. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And he said, I can tell you what's in the heart of these men, these rulers, and these powerful monarchs and dictators. All they're after is power. They care not how much blood they shed. As long as they get what they want, power. They're like beasts. Their eyes are down. They know nothing of the love, the grace, and the power of God. So you have these nations and their leaders likened unto jungle beasts. Now I'm just going to run down the list of things about the metal and the things about these beasts to show you the amazing comparison between chapter 2 and chapter 7. Chapter 2, the first metal is gold. Chapter 7, the first beast is a lion. What is that? The Babylonian Empire. Then the second metal is silver. That was the breast. The second beast is the bear. Medio Persian. The silver and the bear mean Medio Persian. Then again, the third metal is brass, the belly of brass. The third animal, the leopard, Greece under Alexander the Great. The fourth metal, iron. Then the iron and clay. And the fourth beast in chapter 7, this fearful looking beast, it's a nondescript. You can't describe it. It's so fearful. There's no living beast that can liken unto it. God spoke of beasts that we're familiar with, the lion and the leopard and the bear. But he says, here's a power. Here's a kingdom. It's so fierce. It's so vile. I can't think of an animal that would describe. All he said is fearful and terrible. That is the fourth world power. We'll see more about that later on. And that's Rome under the sea. Then you'll notice the 10 toes in the feet of the image. The fourth beast had 10 horns. And he tells us these mean 10 kings or 10 kings. Then how was the image destroyed? By a stone cut out without hands that fell upon the feet of the image and it crumbled to the ground. In connection with the beast, it's the Ancient of Days who brings to an end man's rule. But what about man's view of the Son of God? They liken the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who's going to destroy all the empires of the world. They liken him unto a mountain stone, just a rough mountain stone that smites the image upon the feet, and that's the end of man's attempt to rule the world and bring out of it what he thinks a utopia. But how does God speak of that one who's going to destroy these nations at the Battle of Armageddon? He speaks of him as resplendent in glory, as we'll notice. One who was with them in ages past, the Ancient of Days. And we'll notice a little later on the amazing description given the Lord Jesus Christ. Man sees a rough and rugged mountain stone, but God says, I see my Son, the altogether lovely one, the one resplendent in glory. And here is God summing up these beasts, jungle beasts ready to spring, devour and destroy everything that comes within their reach. That's man at his best, when he gets powered into his hands. Well, let's go over these carefully. I want you to follow me because I think the best thing for you to do is see what's right here in the book. Comparing these, we have the times of the Gentile I've already referred to, the rise and development of this period of time. Now notice the first beast in verse 4. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wing. You'll notice who it is. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet of a man, and a man's heart was given to it. We were noticing a week ago how Nebuchadnezzar was driven from his king's throne, and a beast's heart was given unto him until he repented. And then the man's heart was given unto him, and Nebuchadnezzar found the living and the true God in chapter 4 of Daniel. And so we've got this first beast, and it has a winged lion, the symbol or the national emblem of Babylonian Empire was a winged lion. Like today, we speak of the American eagle. England has the lion. And in that day, the emblem of Babylon as a nation was a winged lion. And that's exactly what you've got in the first beast. Now notice the second beast in verse 5. And behold another beast, the second, like a bear. And who is this? Medo-Persia. But here's an amazing thing. And it raised up itself on one side. What does that mean? If you're familiar with ancient history, and anyone who is can see the beauty of all this, Persia dominated Media. There were these two countries, Medo-Persia, but Persia was the stronger of the two, and Persia dominated Media. There you see the bear rising up on one side, showing that one half of that kingdom was stronger than the other. Notice something else. And it had 3 ribs in its mouth. That simply means this, that kingdom devoured 3 other small kingdoms, Chaldea, Lydia, and Egypt. There are the 3 ribs in its mouth. Between its teeth, and they said thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. Strong, cruel, and cunning, and history records that the appalling destruction of human life affected by this government was greater than any up to that time. Now you notice the third beast. In verse 6, after this I beheld and lo another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it 4 wings of a fowl. The beast had also 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. Here it is, Greece, under Alexander the Great, that brilliant son of Philip of Macedon. What about the 4 wings? It speaks of his rapid conquest. At the age of 29, he had conquered the world. Here you have the agility of that man as seen in the leopard. How swift the leopard is as it skims over the ground. What about the 4 heads seen on this leopard? When Alexander died, his empire was divided up between 4 of his generals. And those 4 generals had their sphere of influence, and that was Greece, Thrace, Syria, and Egypt. And all you've got to do, friend, to see how wonderful the Word of God is, this was all written. It came to pass just exactly as it was foretold. But now notice that 4th beast in verse 7. After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a 4th beast. Dreadful and terrible. and strong exceedingly. He can't think of an animal that roams the earth to describe it. It had great iron teeth that devoured and break in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. It was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. Here you have this fearful and terrible beast, this wantonly merciless destruction of humanity. Feet, it stamps down everything it can. With its claws, it lacerates and tears everything it can. What it can't devour or absorb into its kingdom, it destroys and devastates. That's exactly what the world was like under the Caesar, under the Caesars, the Roman rule. Rome more or less takes up. The rest of the book of Daniel is more or less taken up with this fourth world power, and that's why I drew your attention to that. Daniel says, I'm interested in that fourth power. I'm interested in that fourth kingdom, that fourth beast. That's what I'm interested in, and so am I. And so should every Christian be. Why? As far as the Babylonians are concerned, they reigned over 2,000 years ago. I'm not interested in the Medo-Persians. They reigned and had their day in the past. I'm not interested in the Grecian Empire. That too passed with the death of Alexander the Great and his four generals later on. I'm interested in that fourth beast that began with Rome, the seasons, and runs on to the end when Jesus Christ comes. Because that brings me into a sphere that I'm concerned about and interested in, the state of the world when Jesus Christ comes. And this book tells exactly what to expect. In other words, what you've got here is under papal and I might say pagan Rome, because when I speak of the word pagan, I speak more or less of political Rome, but even papal Rome is pagan too. But here you have pagan Rome and papal Rome and the millions of saints that they've stained their hands with the blood thereof. Remember this, that under the Caesars and under papal Rome, when the first pope came into existence, about the 5th century, and on through those dark ages, you read here about the slaying of the saints. Let me tell you, friend, it's been a dark and a bloody and a cruel career for papal Rome right from the beginning, but the end is not yet. Rome has not changed in her character, remember that. If Rome could gain the ascendancy today, as she had in days past, she had burned you to the stake, like she burned many of the saints in days gone by. Rome will rule. She gets the chance and she'll dispose of everyone who would dare to oppose her. Such is the history of the Caesars. The ancient empire will be revived in a new form, and this is what I'm interested in. The ancient empire of Rome in the latter days is going to be divided into 10 small nations, 10 nations, covering the area of ancient Rome, because there you have the 10 kings and the 10 toes, the 10 horns. In the end time, 10 kingdoms shall divide the ancient Roman world among them. That period is today and tomorrow. What's happening in the area of ancient Rome, where ancient Rome used to rule? Today there's a thing coming into light and formation known as the common market. This became of very great interest to Bible students years ago when Churchill was the first one to speak of United States of Europe. Then it adopted this new name, the common market. And today the common market is taking shape, and its area is the area ruled over by ancient Rome. The Bible says there are to be 10 nations. There are 6 of now. England going in will make 7, and 3 more is quite probable and will be eventual. And so we see in the end time, and here's where we come in. We're in the day of the formation of the 10 federated kingdom in the area of ancient Rome, the 10 toes of the image and the 10 horns of the beast. And that brings us into the days of the coming of the Christ. Because it's in the days of these 10 kingdoms when out of them will arise a strong and powerful dictator. It's in those days that Jesus Christ, the Ancient of Days, appears. You know, to me, that's very significant. This world has seen some beasts in power. God rightly likens them unto beasts. We think of men. First we begin with Nebuchadnezzar. We pointed out previously a man who could have fun and sport out of burning 3 Hebrew children, roasting them alive in the fiery furnace that God delivered them. Then we come to Darius. Why, he didn't think anything of casting Daniel into the den of lions if he dare make a petition unto any other god. But that's the true nature of a man coming out. And you come on down the line, you think of men like Antiochus Epiphanes, one of the outstanding brutal rulers of the past. And then to Nero. Nero stood out in his balcony at his palace, and his marvelous gardens were illuminated at night. How? The burning bodies of Christians. During the day, these Christians were taken and bound to these trees and saturated with inflammable liquid and faggots at their feet. And at night, they were ignited. And like torches, Christians illuminated the gardens of Nero as he walked out and in sport made fun of them. What a brute beast. Friend, there were many rulers such as Nero, those Roman dictators, the Caesars. History doesn't record all their dark and dreadful deeds. We can come into an era that we live in. Think of a Stalin. If any of you followed the story of Stalin in Look magazine, it was enough to turn your hair gray to read what that man did in his ascendancy to power. The ruthless brute. Nothing more than a beast of the jungles. That's why God likens these men unto beasts. But let me tell you, you can get all these men of the past, and I've only mentioned a few. And friend, if you could put all these brute beasts, these vile monsters, into one man, then you'd have a picture of the man that is to come. Why? God says this man will have all the power of the devil concentrated in him. For the dragon, according to Revelation 13, gives all his power to the beast. You think of a man possessed with the devil, like Jesus Christ was God incarnate, this man will be Satan incarnate, Satan in human form. Such are the dark days that are ahead for this wicked, ungodly world. Friend, I'm happy for one thing, that I'll be taken out of it before that man moves. Well, I'm interested in verse 22. After the description of the fourth beast, notice what happens in verse 21. I beheld in the same horn, that's this coming dictator, made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Oh, he's going to slay many in those dark coming days of tribulation. Untailed, now get that. Showing that this is future. Some Bible teachers try to do away with prophecy and say it all happened in the past. They try and say these things happened in the past. Has Jesus Christ come? No. Then this must be future. Because this beast reigns until the Ancient of Days came. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So you see, that time hasn't come yet, so it's future, but it's in the immediate future. In other words, man's dark day will end in a bloody sunset. The beasts and all associated with him given to the burning flame. That's the end of man's dark day. That began with a head of gold under Nebuchadnezzar 2,500 years ago. Friend, we're in the wind-up of Gentile rule over the earth. We're in the days of formation of the 10 toes, the 10 kingdoms. waiting for the appearance of the strong man to unite those 10 kingdoms over in Europe, in the area where ancient Rome ruled. When that man comes up, then it means that Jesus Christ's coming is at hand. In fact, Jesus Christ will come before that man is revealed, according to 2 Thessalonians 2.
It says, after Christ comes, then shall that wicked one be revealed, whose coming is after the workings of Satan.
I mean Christ coming for the church. He's coming for the church first. Catch out of... He's coming for the church first. Catch out of this world all who are born again. He's coming later with those same saints in judgment upon this beast at the battle of Armageddon. But you know, I'm glad that the brighter day for the Christian. Let us look at the brighter day. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Ancient of Days. You know, three times over, you have the Ancient of Days referred to here. In verse 9, the Ancient of Days. In verse 13, the Ancient of Days. And in verse 22, the Ancient of Days. So here's a brighter picture for this poor world and all his saints. The Ancient of Days, the sixth. Why is he spoken of the Ancient of Days? He knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything. Those of you who were with us when we took up Revelation will see a remarkable parallel between some of this language and what we took up in Revelation. For instance, notice the raiment of the Lord Jesus in verse 9. I beheld the thrones were set cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow. Blistering, dazzling, white like snow, that means essential purity and holiness. And again, we read that his hair, the hair of his head like the pure wool. This speaks of wisdom, intelligence, experience, reverence, hair white. Then again you find his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels of burning fire. The throne of flame of fire, in Revelation he speaks of his eyes, it speaks of his eyes as a flame of fire, speaking of their penetrating, all-seeing character. The next thing you'll notice here, a stream of fire came forth before him. Christ is coming in flaming fire, devouring fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him. Thousands, thousands carrying out the orders of his court. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, adoring and worshipping. The judgment was set and the books were opened. Books full of the story of human life and character upon this earth during the times of the Gentiles. Then let me tell you one thing. You're going to stand at this great tribunal unless you're saved. We've been reading of man's dark day, its commencement, its character, its consummation, as seen in the reign of the Gentiles, and how things are heading up. The end is near, with the appearance of those 10 kings and the 10 horns, those 10 countries in their formation, now in Europe, preparing the way for a strong man to come up out of them to be that world dictator. And things are all going to culminate in that dark and dreadful day, the Battle of Armageddon, a bloody sunset, to all man's achievements and glory. But following that will be the righteous reign of Jesus Christ. But remember, this one's going to sit upon a throne, and the books are going to be opened. And whosoever's name's not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. I want to know, friend, whether you're ready for that dark day. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you really been born again? You'll notice Daniel was troubled with the contents of this dream. In verse 15, he speaks of being troubled. In verse 28, he says, these things troubled me. And if Daniel were troubled, how much more you who are unconverted? You ought to tremble at the thought of what's coming upon the earth and coming soon. The point due to the one Isaiah spoke of in chapter 9. He said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders. And that's what this chapter is referring to, when Jesus Christ shall reign. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. Then and only then will the world know a righteous administrator, a pure government. It'll be Jesus Christ. Think of those other lovely words. His name should be called Wonderful Counselor, Infinite in Wisdom, the Mighty God, Infinite in Power, the Everlasting Father, Infinite in Love, the Prince of Peace, Infinite in Redemption. This is the one who is to come and bring to an end man's dark day and establish his own righteous reign over the earth. Friend, I'm happy to say I anticipate that glorious day when Jesus Christ shall come. Do you know him in redemption? Redemption from sin, from Satan, and the bondage of the law? Has he redeemed your spirit, your soul, your body, your life? He's going to redeem creation from its present state of groaning. This is the glorious Redeemer that God offers to you tonight. And all he has done in redeeming his people, and in the day ahead, he'll redeem creation from its groaning, all through his precious blood. That's it. All through his precious blood. You know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus died. Do you believe me if I told you there are more heathen in the world today than there were then? More heathen in the world today than there were when Jesus Christ died. The world has multiplied far greater and faster than the gospel has spread and affected the hearts of men and women. There are more heathen in the world today. They were when Jesus Christ died 1900 years ago, nearly 2,000 years ago. You've got plenty of them right here in America. Men and women living like heathens, living as though there were no God. What a sad and tragic commentary on the church and her failure to reach the world with the gospel. But one thing is certain, God is gathering out of all people, all nations are people for his name. Here's where you come in. God is seeking to gather out of this world, and all these nations, seething with revolt, he's seeking to gather out of them a church, a people for his name, a bride for Christ, a companion for the Lord Jesus. And all who are saved today are part of that bride. Here's where you may come in right now. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you'll be one of those gathered up from the present world scene, from the judgment that is to come. You'll be gathered unto Christ in the air, to be with him like him forever. But you must be gathered unto him now through the gospel. You'll open your heart and acknowledge you're a lost, guilty sinner. Jesus Christ will save you, and you'll know it. He has visited the Gentiles to gather out of them a people for his name, and this is the time of gathering out before the day of judgment strikes. I wonder if you hear his voice tonight, calling you, speaking to you, trying to speak peace into your heart through his precious blood. Do you want peace, friend? Do you want assurance? Do you want everlasting life? Oh, you say, I'd give all I've got if I could have everlasting life right now and peace. You may have. You may have. Quite a number of us here have it. I would say the majority of us here have it. Why don't you have it? Because as yet you haven't yielded to the claims of Jesus Christ. A lot of people you ask them, would you not like to be saved? Would you not like to have peace? Would you not like to have everlasting life? Would you not like to have the absolute assurance you're going to heaven? Oh, I certainly would. I certainly would. That would be worth more than all the world. All right. Do you want it now? That's where they start backing up. Do you want it now? Well, not now. I've got a few plans. You have. Something may happen to interrupt those plans. They'll never be fulfilled. You better come now while you've got the chance, while you've got the opportunity. For you may have God's wonderful salvation. Do you want Christ against the dark background of world events and come events? Do you want the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want Him right now as the one who died for you on the cross, suffered for your sins, paid your debt with His precious blood that you might be delivered from what is to come? Do you want Him, yes or no? You ask. You say, yes, I want Jesus Christ. I want Him right now. And He'll save you. You say, no, I don't want Him. He won't save you. He'll never save you against your will. He'll not force His salvation on any man or anyone. If you want Him, face Him. And He'll come into your heart and wash away your sins and give you everlasting life. Right where you sit, say, Lord Jesus, I will trust Thee. I'll trust Thee with my soul. I'm guilty. I'm lost. I'm helpless. Thou canst make me whole. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. God help you to do it. Right now, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, we come into Thy presence. We thank Thee for Thy word. How solemn it is, and yet, Father, how comforting to those of us who are saved. You know, the darkest of the night is just before the dawn. And surely we are entering the darkest period of world distress. You see it on every hand. Thy word is being fulfilled. Our Lord Jesus is coming soon. Oh, Father, we pray for those here tonight who are not in the ark of safety, who know not the Lord Jesus. They're still outside exposed to Thine indignation and wrath. O God, may they come to the Savior and come tonight. We know Satan will be trying his best to keep them from obeying the gospel, but may he be defeated tonight and snatch some brands from the burning by Thy Holy Spirit. If they say within their heart, I want Jesus. Bless Thy word to this end, we ask in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Let us sing in closing 243. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals He's waiting, He's watching, watching for you and for me. Softly and tenderly, He is calling. He's using this language in this day of grace. He'll change the tone of His voice in the day to come. There'll be nothing soft or tender then. But come now, as He speaks to you softly and tenderly, come to the Ancient of Days. Come to our Lord Jesus as we stand and sing. Maybe you did during the meeting. Come and tell us if you did.